who you are and where you want to be on this.
Right. And we'll see if there is any hope to getting through to him. I mean, I'm all for them doing that, but I also understand any and everyone that will say, you know what, like, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. And you know, I kind of thought, well, maybe this is his attempt to get his brother out of trouble. Like, you're sitting there and then you go, you know what? He doesn't, I don't think that we should have to give him some of these benefits of the doubt. And it hurts for a lot of people who are fans of Brian Urlacher because of what he did on the field, because he was such an incredible player that, and it seemed as if he was someone that was a beloved teammate too, that he would be going this deep into some of this stuff is sad and dangerous. And those are the words that I got repeated back to me from people. And I'm shout out to Matt Forte, because he keeps it a buck. Like, he said what he needed to say and tag Brian. Like, he said exactly what a lot of other people were thinking, but put it to him and said, here it is. I'm not going to throw a stone and hide my hand in my criticism of your point of view. And I give him a lot of credit, because Matt's always been kind of a quiet guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he's been... The opposite is happening for him. Like, over the last year and a half, I think that he's found his voice publicly and the things that he wants to lend weight to. And there's a fearlessness about him that I really, really admire in a lot of different subject areas. And I appreciate him stepping forward and saying some of this stuff to let people know. And I also think that it's significant that the Bears were like, nope, this is not what we're about. This is not what we're on as an organization. Not a statement from the players, because you had two statements. You had a statement from the players about how they felt about Kenosha and why they weren't practicing yesterday. But a simple statement from the Bears saying, this is not who we are, and this is what we don't espouse to be that, even though this is from one of the greatest players in our franchise's history.
And that was only because of the two things that were being specifically asked about. I know Dan Wiederer of the Tribune wrote a thoughtful piece about what happens now. That was only based on the two things from yesterday, the liking of the free, the murderer, and the other stuff about comparing it to Brett Favre when his father passed. It's the rest of it. I mean,
right.
Really, we know more now. More work is being done about just how deeply embedded he is with some of the worst and lowest aspects of what's happening in social media right now. And it's moved to a different place now. It isn't just about those two posts that somebody might be able to explain away. This is a deep and broad pattern of behavior that I think changes the conversation. And I don't know if there's a comp. I really don't. I mean, I remember when Steve Carlton revealed himself as sort of a crazy anti-Semite, and then that was like an all-time great player in that regard, a Hall of Famer, maybe one of the top three left-handed pitchers of all time. You know, we're talking about something pretty serious here. I mean, nobody gives a damn about Aubrey Huff. Kurt Schilling played for a few teams and did have a borderline Hall of Fame career, so maybe that would be the best comp. But this is serious, much more so than, oh, yeah, well, he shouldn't have said it. He's revealing who he is and what he thinks.
Yeah, and I think that the other part of it that is uncomfortable for a lot of people is the fact that Brian has a black son. Like that, and I know the circumstances of him having a black son is also uncomfortable because of the woman that is his son's mom. But I actually had a conversation with one of Brian's teammates about this and the idea of, well, what happens if your son gets pulled over? Like, how do you have that conversation? The conversation that every black parent has to have with their child about their interactions with the police. If I don't know if the name is going to save his son in a situation like that. And just, I don't know the son. Like, I know that I'm somewhat speaking out of turn here. I admit that freely. But it was one of the first things that I thought was, how do those conversations go now? If that's what you're on as in your journey as a human being, what does that do for you to be a very good ally to your black son?
I don't even know where to begin. How do you answer that question? I don't know. There's a lot of layers to this, and I'm just sort of taking my guidance in some ways by how teammates are responding, but this is pretty clear. He's telling us who he is.
Yep.
He's loud and clear.
And let me just say, and you're listening to WSCR HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score, radio.com station. I know Rashid a little bit better than I know Brian, and I know that his heart is in the right place in reaching out to him. And I also know that he won't pull any punches in the conversation. So, I mean, I am prayerful that whether it's a one-on-one or Brian taking a look at what's happening or other players speaking to him, that they'll be able to get through. But I also am down with what one of the people told me. He was like, hey, this is an opportunity for a split and a fork in the road if he doesn't have an idea of how hurtful what he's saying and doing and posting. And it isn't even just the last two. I mean, look at what he posted on Grant Hill's Instagram a couple of months ago. I mean, the history of it now has become so odorous that I think that there are a lot of people that have just said, I'm done with all of this.
I'm more on that side than I think the former, and that's just me, because there's enough there to, when someone is screaming about and to tell you in no uncertain terms who they are and what they think and what matters to them. You mentioned you got Chris Herring on. What else is going on?
Yeah, I'm going to talk with Patrick Finley. I want to know what it's like to cover the Bears over the last couple of days. And I'm looking forward to having some conversations about that. There is going to be some on the field conversation. The trade deadline is coming up, and now the White Sox have two Adam Engels. We're going to talk about that and all sorts of other stuff. So Dan, have a wonderful weekend.
You too, Lawrence. Thanks.
That is Dan Bernstein. He is on from 9 a.m. until noon. I am Lawrence Holmes. I am on right now. Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
You look at the words of Thomas Jefferson and James Madison, and you look at the words and the idea of freedom for all. It's never been that. Here's who it's been for, and it's what I don't understand, why there can't be a coalition that's bigger than what it is already. It has always been for white, heterosexual, male landowners. That's who they were putting the Constitution together for. That's who they were hoping for freedom for. It wasn't for everybody else. It wasn't even for their wives. It wasn't for poor whites. It was for white, heterosexual, male landowners. That's who they wanted freedom for. And until we come to an agreement on that's what this country was founded upon, when people start, when they get in front of a microphone and they start telling you about the freedom and how great it is to be an American, until they admit and then work to change the hard truths about the history of the United States, it's going to be difficult for any of us to move forward.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
This hour is being brought to you by Basement Water Stoppers. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. Here's what we have planned for you. Patrick Finley of the Sun-Times is going to join me in the next segment. We are going to talk about what it's like to cover the Bears over the last couple of days with them canceling the players, canceling practice. And you're starting now. Like I noticed this morning that there's now a rumble. It's a quiet rumble, but a rumble of, maybe we won't play a game. Not the Bears, but the Giants have been talking about that. Maybe we won't play. Maybe that's how we'll use our voice to not play one of our games in the NFL. Maybe that'll be where the protest and the wildcat strikes go next to try and make some change, and even if that change is incremental. So we'll talk with Patrick Finley about that coming up in the next segment. Chris Herring, who covers the NBA for 538, wrote a great piece yesterday for 538 about the wildcat strike that the players went on, and the news is breaking right now, and breaking news on the score is brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Podference podcast series, available now on radio.com. They're going to resume the playoffs tomorrow. There was a thought that maybe the games would resume tonight. According to Chris Paul, who is the president of the NBPA, they will resume tomorrow. So that's going on. And while that's happening, there's now a movement of the Big Ten playing football again, which is really, really odd that this is happening. And here's why I think it's odd, and we need to find one of our college football guys to or women to help us out in this regard. The whole point of moving the schedule up, like why you're getting rid of like week zero and all that stuff, the idea was to not play into deep into the fall and the beginning of winter, because there was concern about what would happen with the virus. Now, maybe those concerns are not as important. I hadn't seen anything that said that we're all good once we get to November, considering it's 2 months away. But now there is at least some thought that the Big Ten might start a season around Thanksgiving, which also makes me wonder, how, Sway? How? How are you going to do that? Because let's say that you are just doing it so that you can get these games in. That's probably the worst time in the area where most of the teams are clustered to play football outdoors. I can't think of any team in the Big Ten that has a dome. I mean, I guess there are some that could be made available. Like, I know that Indiana has played in Indianapolis before. But, Herbie, am I wrong about this, or are all these teams outside?
They're all outside. There's the domes in Detroit and Indianapolis that I can think of off the top of my head. But everybody else is outside.
Yeah. Starting a season around Thanksgiving doesn't seem like a great idea.
Now, I've been hearing I know today's report kind of maybe usurps what I heard yesterday. The reports about playing in Detroit and Indianapolis later in the year, like in February or January, that made more sense. But I just think the college.
But that's your spring season. Like, that's like we're putting air quotes around that. But yes, like that would be the start of your spring season that you're having instead of cobbling something together to start after Thanksgiving.
What they all need to do is stop pretending this is a student athlete game. Send all the students home, do remote learning, and if you really want to play football, only have the football players and whatever sports you want to have there play those sports. Otherwise, this is going to be a disaster, just like it would have been if they had started 2 weeks from now.
This is one of the things that I was really worried about when they stopped play. To me, the reason that you try to move to spring, and I understand that you're butting up against the NFL, and I don't think that college football should have that as one of the main things that they're concerned about. My hope was that they would take the time to do better. And maybe they think they can do better in the, 10 weeks or so, 12 weeks between now and Thanksgiving? Is that even right? I don't even know math anymore.
But 11 weeks. What's changed?
Herbie, nothing's changed. Other than, all right, let me just say this. Like, to be fair, we have seen overall, cases being less, people in the southern part of the country that got hit really hard are starting to wear masks, and they're starting to see a little bit of a decline in cases. There's that. But there still isn't the vaccine yet, and then the production of the vaccine, which I think trying to play in spring, and again, we're using air quotes, play in spring still makes a lot more sense, because then you can put all of the things in place that you need to put in place to try to make it as safe as possible. Now, maybe people that cover college football can make it more plain for me, but this feels like they caved to the pressure of the, now there's a lawsuit by the Nebraska football players, and like, all right, we'll just give you football then. We'll just go ahead and we'll give you football at Thanksgiving. And I, logistically, I don't think it makes sense. And from a virus standpoint, I don't think it makes sense. Because what's going to be happening a couple weeks before that? We're going to have baseball move to a pod system for their postseason. That's the direction that they're headed. There's talk in college basketball, there's going to be, and that actually makes more sense to me. Like, college basketball starting at the end of November makes more sense, because that you could do it in a pod way. But the bigger problem is the problem that you point out, Herbie, that the veneer of student athlete, of amateurism, it's all gone. It's all gone. Because this is the amount of greed that is at the forefront of this. The stench of it stinks. It's so outwardly greedy that it's hard to wrap your arms around it and call it anything other than that. There's a lot of stuff going on with the Chicago Bears. Organizationally, there's a condemnation of Brian Urlacher. You have the players not practicing. I want to know what it's been like to cover the Bears over the last couple of days. Patrick Finley from the Sun-Times is going to help me out in that regard. He joins me next here on The Score.
Trubisky or Foles? Foles or Trubisky? Yep, we got a quarterback controversy in Chicago. It's a tale as old as time. The Bears have a good team, but no quarterback. But we're excited that football's back, and we're getting you ready for week one against Detroit. So listen to the Mac and Parkin Show, afternoons 2 to 6. We're covering all the big stories out of Hallis Hall, and they got to pick a quarterback sooner or later on Sports Radio 670, The Score, Chicago's home for Bears fans.
This is Andrew Bogish with a Radio.com Sports Minute. This bit of news would have struggled to get the proper attention in a normal August, but in this August, it has no chance. Bob and Mike Bryan, the most prolific men's doubles team ever, are retiring at 42 ahead of the U.S. Open. The twins won an astounding 119 events, including 16 majors. No one is close to either of those numbers. They spent over 8 years at number one in the world, and at one point, they simultaneously owned all four majors and the Olympic gold medal. I covered a lot of tennis as the Bryans were truly taking off. I was always thankful that Bob was a lefty and Mike a righty, or I had little chance of telling them apart on the court. But that was their magic. They played as one. It led to history and now a much-deserved retirement. I'm Andrew Bogish.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Labor Day savings are now at the Home Depot, and your fall project list is now even more affordable. Use our mobile app to search, shop, and save. Flexible delivery options that bring everything you need right to your door. And if you need tools for a project, but not forever, you can rent them. you won't find a better toolbox anywhere else. Take on fall with Labor Day savings now at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. U.S. only, while supplies last, valid through September 7th.
Did you know that the equivalent of a garbage truck's worth of plastic